gave no direction, and so it brings us back into regular session. We are now at CEO report. Trey, what do you have for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll keep it real brief. I just have a couple things to touch on. You know, I think it's prudent just to talk for a moment about the coronavirus and ongoing challenges with that. For the most part, I'm happy to report that you know, all of our staff here in the office has been vaccinated, and we haven't had any breakouts, so to speak of. So we've been pretty fortunate to weather the storm through this and not have any interruptions in operations or anything like that. As I mentioned before, we had a few challenges associated with contractors and a few supply chain challenges, but we've worked through those. So I think we're still maintaining diligence with our contractors coming in from outside, because not all of our folks out at the plant have been vaccinated. So we're still being careful, but so far so good. And on the governmental affairs type items, I've got a fairly lengthy write-up there that I provided. I will just say that, you know, the capital budget is, I'll say it's quite in flux right now. The House passed the budget. It got passed over to the Senate. But they, I'll say, proposed $700 million in ARPA backfill, but I think there's maybe only $500 that's going to be available. So my assessment is that the Senate's going to have to do a major rework, and they got a lot of work ahead of them. As I mentioned before, they're going to be challenged just to get the operations budget approved and out the door as required prior to the end of the month. And then more than likely, there'll be a follow-up session, special session, and maybe multiple ones. The governor does have the ability to call them back in within essentially 1 hour of them adjourning. So it may happen right away, but as you mentioned earlier, Bob, that might occur a little bit. Might let people go home and then call folks back. So time will tell. I don't have a lot more to report on that. Only that, you know, our request is queued up and hopefully maintain some traction, and we'll keep pushing on that, and hopefully can get some money for the organization and consequently the end of, give some relief to the ratepayers at the end of the day.
Thank you. Is there any questions for Trey in regards to his report? Thank you. Moves us on to item 9, staff report A, operations manager Hammer. Is Clay on?
I don't think so, Bob. He's got his hands full today. So if I could, I'm happy to try to answer any questions folks may have with from his report.
Well, I didn't see it in your operation plan where we were replacing the building in Wrangell.
Yeah, I'm hopeful at this point we don't have to. Maybe some potential repairs and such, but hopefully we could. That's going to be limited. But there was a great response from the local fire department, and we're very appreciative of that.
Yeah, and I think everybody had an opportunity to read his report. It was a good report. Showed some of the projects that we have out in front, some of the stuff that we've done. Are there any questions in regards to the written report that was submitted to the board? Hearing and seeing none, then we'll go ahead and move on to item B, the power system specialist. Ed, what do you have for us?
Give him a second to get unmuted here.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Are you with us, Ed?
I'm Mr. Chair, perhaps, well, I was just going to say we could move on. I think Robert's going to go.
We're
going to
find it out here.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go ahead and move on to Director of Engineering and Technical Services, Robert's report to us. Robert, what do you have?
I think Ed's ready to go. I Robert stepped across the hall. So.
All right, sounds good.
Sorry.
I see your knee.
Yeah. For some reason, I got my cursor stuck on another monitor and can't get it back to the unmute. So, any questions on my report?
Does anybody have any questions? Just give us a brief rundown, Ed. I think you did a really good job on it.
Yeah, I mean, the big projects going on right now is this MapCon update. This is an ongoing thing for a couple of years now. And by MapCon update, I mean, it's an O&M manual update that hasn't been revised since 92, so we're going in there. And long story made short, this used to be done in-house. We used to have technical standards committee back in Fordham all the days, and we had somebody from each project met each quarter and reviewed the tasks within the manual to make sure everything was up to industry standards. That kind of fell apart as CEPA was come into play. That committee that no longer meets. Those technical standards are outdated. We're now going to swap over to the Bureau of Reclamation's manuals, powerhouse manuals, which are 70 of them, and they keep those current and up to date and revised online. So we're going to use that as our guidance. So that we're in the process of doing that, finishing that up at Swan Lake, and then we'll revert it over to TAI as that's completed.
So, Ed, if I may, so in the past, you guys used to meet a day before the regular meeting to go through your...
Well, in the past, the operations manual was written by the original contractors of the projects at startup, and they cover every single device on the facility. I'm right down to air compressors. And light switches, everything is covered in there on how to maintain them, what the procedures are to maintain them, and industry standards to perform that. In that manual, they give you what was called a technical standards reference number if you needed further information. Then you went to another document. That document used to be kept up to date by the Standards Technical Committee. We're now going to use the Bureau of Reclamation to keep basically that part of the document up to date. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah, that makes sense.
It's just, they do it already. They, as the Bureau of Reclamation, they have 75 facilities. They have somebody assigned just to keep those manuals updated. We don't have the staff to keep up with this, nor is it practical that we meet every quarter and take somebody out of our staff to try to review this stuff and keep it up to date. That would cripple us, right, with our small group. The other project, the big project, is the headquarters. So just finalizing the contract with the architect and mechanical, civil engineers, and also because Trey had mentioned here earlier that the prices are volatile, and we've all seen that in the building industry. We also are bringing on HMS Engineering out of Anchorage to do a 65% estimate of cost to try to get a handle on what this is really going to cost us at the construction date. Not sure how we're going to do that, but we're going to try to get that accomplished.
So, Ed, I know that our original design is what, a metal skeleton?
Yeah, nothing's changed from our April special meeting as far as concept design or anything. We haven't moved off that at all. So everything's there. It's a metal building. on a concrete slab with a warehouse down below, a board meeting room, and then office facilities on the second floor.
So that was that going to be a panel construction building?
Right now, it's just the conventional, but that could all change as the mechanical and civil engineers get involved.
Yeah,
so we're truly just that brainstorming concept right now. So now, once we get to the engineers getting on board and get that contract signed, then we'll start in the place reality with our concept, and then we'll see which way is the most cost effective.
So Ed, as we go through that, are you keeping an eye on next door where Eddie Stone is going to build a concrete block structure out of those foam?
That's like about the third structure I know of here in Ketchikan that's gone that way, and it's interesting. It'll be a part of the discussion. We'll see.
Yeah, and Cliff should have a fairly decent cost on what that's going to be when he's done. So
yeah,
you can play that into the mix. I understand they have great insulating value and advantages.
Yeah. Yeah, they do some amazing things with concrete nowadays.
Yep. And they're quiet.
The next project, I guess, it probably deserves some conversation is the intake gate up at Tai. We're just waiting for snow to get off. Everything's here. All the parts are staged up there. If you remember, we just put this to bed last winter. We threw snow on the ground. So everything's there. The next phase is to bring the gate up from 200 feet below water, get that up to what we call the maintenance deck, which is 200 feet below ground level. And we're going to pull all the rollers, guide rollers off of that, rebuild the guide rollers, and put new seals on the gate, and then a new whole car coating, and then place it back from when this project is done. I'm going to say that probably looking at mid-June before we get started on this project, and it should be done early July.
So you're going to fly that down to the plant to do all the refurbishing?
No, it's going to stay 200 feet below ground. We're going to do it all down below. This is a 15,000 pound leak.
Okay. You're doing that yourself, Ed?
We've got a contractor that's providing the labor, and then Penthouse, myself, and probably electrician from IE will be up there to do all the testing and wire connecting.
Thank you.
I think that's about it, unless anybody has any other questions.
Anybody have any questions, Fred? Looks like you have a busy year, Ed. Thank you.
Sounds going to be fun.
So that moves us on to Robert's report. Robert, what do you got for us?
I'll go through this fairly quickly. Swan Bailey transformer refurbishment. We talked about the 4R plan and extending life on some of our large capital assets. And this is one of those projects. Hopefully we'll be able to get another 20 years of life out of those transformers because they're testing good, but the bushings were not good. So the parts arrived. We brought them out to Swan Lake. We staged them at Bailey, and we're scheduled to begin that work during our outage here in June. So that project is on track and on schedule. Swan Lake Station Service Project, that's going to be a fairly big one. It's going to take us pretty much all summer to get done. Start there just after the July 4th holiday. And as you can see, there's a lot of work that gets done because it isn't just replacing a piece of switchgear. It's a lot of switchgear, a lot of cables from the first point of from the delivery point to the first point of termination. So a lot of work to be done there. The the actual equipment should be on a barge right now on its way to Ketchikan. So we'll be seeing that here before long, and then get it staged and get it out this one night.
So, Robert, as always, as the community of Ketchikan, we are concerned about accidental trips or anything. So you guys have probably got all that figured out, but we don't want to impact any of the ongoing services of any of the communities in regards to any of this update. So just want to throw that
out. Absolutely, Bob. That's the biggest challenge with anything when you update is preventing, you know, doing it while you're operating the plant as well. So there's single unit outages we'll be taking, where we'll be doing work on one unit and then have the other unit in operation. And then there'll be times where we'll have to take both units off to make connections, but those will be shorter in duration.
Thank you.
The Sakine cable crossing, we had the factory acceptance test here just a little bit ago, and the cable passed with flying colors. It's in very well manufactured cable, and our consultant is very meticulous about what they needed to test and how they did it. So unfortunately, we had to do it over a Zoom call and not in person, which would be a traditional way to do that test. But all in all, with our requirements that we agree to, with not only the Zoom call, but video recording submitted, so that we can correlate the Zoom call with actual video footage, and then pictures of every single one of the measurements taken and a report. It turned out to be pretty good, actually. It worked out well, especially in our COVID state of non-travel. But this, for example, is one of the tests you see here. You can see this is our cable here. And this is prior to it being wrapped in armor. They do the partial discharge test on the cable to test the insulation. They raise it up to 80,000 volts. And they look for static discharge in the cable to look for any voids. So yeah, it tested out really good. Sumitomo is pretty well renowned for their manufacturing quality. And so that's project is on schedule. Right now, we are looking at installation of the actual cable in July. Beginning of July, we'll be probably working over July 4th weekend to get that work done. And the reason being is we are on tight tidal windows. You want to install the cable when you have a very low tidal differential and not much current. So the cable's not being swung one side or the other. It lays where you want it to lay. So that happens over the July 4th weekend. But in the next 2 weeks, they'll be mobilizing up here. And we'll start doing the shoreside work beginning of June. And that is where we will begin putting in pedestals, rearranging the switches. And like I mentioned, a lot of that work can happen that requires an outage can happen during our regular scheduled outage, and that really helps Petersburg reduce the amount of time required for them to operate pieces. So that actually turned out really well. Excited about that. I'll be in Wrangell quite a bit overseeing this project, and we're going to be coordinating with our consultants here fairly shortly as we close